This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. The Democrats have a 1976 draft party platform with nary a squabble. I'm Jerry Landay reporting on the CBS Radio Network. With aides of Jimmy Carter, the likely nominee, clearly in command, the platform committee ended its work a full day ahead of schedule. There was agreement on draft planks favoring national health insurance, income maintenance for the poor, a program of full employment, of aid to cities, partial federal assumption of welfare costs. At Carter's request, the draft platform opposes legalization of marijuana. It favors pardons for draft evaders, review of the problems of deserters on a case-by-case basis. Also at Carter's request, the platform rejected a plank favoring the horizontal breakup of big oil companies. The Senate Judiciary Committee narrowly approved such a measure Tuesday. The atmosphere was one of harmony and compromise in the platform proceedings, a distinct departure for the Democrats from the practice of the past two convention years. More news after this.
May 1855. The tightly guarded train from London roared toward the English Channel, filled with a fantastic shipment of gold. But when the train arrived, the gold was gone. The most daring crime of the century had been committed. Read The Great Train Robbery, the runaway bestseller about the man who planned and executed this ingenious crime. With more twists and turns than The Sting, Michael Crichton's novel, The Great Train Robbery, is the crackling thriller of the year. A Bantam book, where paperbacks are sold.
I'm Stephanie Shelton, CBS News, with What's Happening Monday through Saturday on the CBS Radio Network. In recent broadcasts, I've reported on a summer school for the elderly, the impact first ladies have on American life, and covered stories as varied as sequential birth control pills and victories and defeats for American women during International Women's Year. This year, we'll be covering more stories of interest to women and men alike on What's Happening Monday through Saturday on the CBS Radio Network.
A move at the UN to keep the peace on the island of Cyprus. Richard C. Huntelet reports.
The Security Council tonight voted to extend the mandate of the UN peacekeeping force on Cyprus another 6 months. The action seemed inevitable from the outset because it's generally accepted that the presence of this international contingent of 3,000 men is essential in preventing the smoldering tension on the island from breaking out again in open flame. But the debate went on for days in the council chamber and behind closed doors, right down to the midnight deadline. The Greek Cypriot community is deeply aggrieved by the suffering of nearly 200,000 refugees from the Turkish occupation of the north 2 years ago. It further resents new pressures on the few ethnic Greeks who remain in the Turkish zone. The Greeks, therefore, wanted the council to note these grievances and come out against changes in the demographic structure of Cyprus. But the Turks opposed it, rejecting the charges against them, and the Turks were in the stronger tactical position. They have an army in Cyprus and do not need the UN force. In the end, the Greeks gave way almost completely, and the force was extended. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News.
The Chinese government has indirectly confirmed reports that the health of Chairman Mao Zedong has worsened. The Chinese foreign ministry told newsmen that Mao will no longer see foreign visitors. American intelligence sources have interpreted Mao's appearance in recent published photos as evidence of a possible stroke or progressive muscular disease. Those letter bombs received Monday by at least seven American corporations have been linked by the FBI to extortion demands received by 200 companies and executives since last fall. Bureau Director Clarence Kelly said the letters contained requests for large amounts of money. Kelly didn't say how much. And they warned of possible terrorism unless the demands were met. Kelly said none of the recipients has complied with the demands. Kelly conceded the Bureau has no idea of the person or persons responsible. Senator Harry Byrd of Virginia has denied charges that he allegedly seduced a constituent after she sought his help on a personal problem. The charge was raised Tuesday in a syndicated column by Jack Anderson. Now this.
He likes it, and he asks for it by name, Fleischmann's. He says he wants Fleischmann's.
This is Don Morrow talking with Mrs. Madeline Eller. She and her husband are both Fleischmann's margarine fans. Madeline, why do you prefer Fleischmann's?
It's made from 100% corn oil.
And it's the only leading margarine that is. What about taste?
It's creamy, it's rich, it's light tasting.
So you use Fleischmann's?
All the time. For anything. Any recipe on bread, crackers, any kind of sandwiches, cooking, using on vegetables, anything that you could think of using it for, I prefer Fleischmann's.
Then if I were someone who used some other leading brand?
I would tell you to try Fleischmann's. It's 100% corn oil.
And Fleischmann's is high in polyunsaturates. And of course, it's low in saturated fat and has no cholesterol. To sum up, Fleischmann's is...
great, terrific, delicious, good tasting.
Hear that? Listen to Madeline Eller and enjoy Fleischmann's, the only leading margarine made from 100% corn oil.
The New York Times has purchased the rights to serialize Richard Nixon's memoirs in newspapers and magazines. The memoirs themselves are to be published in the fall of next year. Neither Warner Books, the publishers, nor the Times would discuss the terms, but sources are quoted as saying a six-figure sum's involved. A Times spokesman says it's a very good business deal for us. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, the weather outlook. Decreasing showers tonight and tomorrow with periods of partial clearing, partly sunny on Thursday. Slowly warming with highs mid-60s. Tomorrow near 70 on Thursday and lows in the lower 50s. In downtown Seattle, it's 57 degrees. The barometer is holding steady. It reads 29.89. And taking a look at sports, former heavyweight champion George Foreman, scored a fifth-round TKO against Joe Frazier in their scheduled 12-rounder at NASA Coliseum outside New York City. Frazier was knocked down twice in the fifth round. Major League Baseball activity in the American League. Kansas City 21, Detroit 7. New York beat Minnesota 4-2. Baltimore 4, Chicago nothing. Texas over Cleveland 3-0. California dumped Milwaukee 1-0. National League, Philadelphia 10, San Francisco 2. The Mets over Los Angeles 2-1. Cincinnati 6, Chicago 4. Atlanta beat St. Louis 5-4. And San Diego took Montreal by a score of 2-1. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next on KIXI, the time 7 past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... E.G. Marshall. In this tale, we're leaving the supernatural for the natural. Not that the mystery is less deep. This is a story of human beings and the passions and desires that consume and drive them. A story that concerns one of the seven deadly sins. In many ways, the most repulsive of them all. But which of them? Ah, that is the matter of our story. Let Detective Lewis Stein mention only one of them.
You listen to me, Tony boy. The more time I spend on homicide, the less I pretend to understand it. I've seen guys knocked off in an argument over a hockey game. Dames who stuck a knife in their husbands because they forgot to bring home the margarine. Candy Hart was doing your little Polly picture out of a chance in the spotlight. Envy is as good a motive for murder as the next one. And murder is what we've got right here.
Our mystery drama, The Slick and the Dead, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Russell Horton.
It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser, and Jovan Collections for women and for men. I'll return shortly with Act One. When you say
Budweiser. I was getting off a super slab and this sweet thing says to me,
if you got them ears on, beer man, come on back to this home 20.
She's got the king of beers for 100 years, 10-10 on the side. And I'd love to hear that sweet thing say at the end of every ride,
there is no other one.
That's right.
There's only something left, because the king of beers is beating all the rest. When you say Budweiser.
10-7.
You said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Here we are talking with one of the thousands and thousands of people who bought a Buick this year. This is a Skylark, right?
That's right. Pretty, huh?
Indeed it is.
You want to sit in it? I'll let you for a buck and a quarter.
Do you charge to let people sit in your Skylark?
Oh, this is a very nice car. Look, I figure when word gets out, people will be lined up for blocks. Hey, you want to honk the horn? Give me a dime.
Listen, sir, Buick dealers let people do this for free.
They do?
Yeah. I think they're missing a good bet.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
If you believe in good, you must believe in evil. If you believe in heaven, you must believe in hell. If you believe in the beginning of the world, you must believe in the end of the world. You must believe in the Omen. Gregory Peck, Lee Remick, The Omen. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. You have been warned.
At last, the Omen, the thriller of the year, opens on Friday, June 25th, for an exclusive engagement at the UA Cinema 150, 6th Blanchard in Seattle. Don't miss the Omen. Rated R. Opens Friday, June 25th.
Of all the crimes on the police blotter, the most fascinating of all is the crime of homicide. Not alone because the killing of a fellow creature is the most final of all crimes, but because the reasons, the motives, the mysterious why of it are the most complex in all sins against society. For gain, for revenge, for jealousy, for a thousand reasons, including just no plain reason at all, Murder One deserves its ranking. In Candy Hart's case, all the basics of how, where, and even when are satisfactorily explained before a story even begins. What we are concerned with is why and who.
Watch it, Detective Carbo. Let the boys get the basket out.
Oh, sure, Lou. Good-looking chick.
Yeah, before somebody wrung her neck.
Yeah. What'd you get from the doctor?
What you usually get from a doctor, double talk. She was strangled with her own pantyhose sometime in the wee hours of the night.
And couldn't pin it any closer than that?
He will after the autopsy, sometime early this morning. Well, what time did the maid say she found her?
Around noon, when she was making out the rooms.
Just walked in and found her, huh?
Well, no, not quite. See, the clerk who let her in came on duty then. He wanted to know if she'd checked out.
Why do you want to know that?
Want to ask him yourself? He's in a room down the hall.
Yeah. All right, nothing more to do here. She signed in as Ruth Sniffen.
Sounds like a phony.
Could be. Her address was a phony. And when we checked her purse, we drew a blank. Too little there, if you ask me.
Somebody ripped her off?
No, money was there and lipstick, compact gum, some keys, a pencil, and a couple of hair ribbons.
Hair ribbons?
Hair ribbons. So?
Well, nothing. It's just a funny thing for a dame to be carting around.
Why? She's got long hair.
Yeah, that's right.
Come to think of it, though, you might have a point.
How come?
Well, you take my kid, Debbie. She's got this long hair, too, you see, and she takes ballet.
So?
Did you get a good look at that one before they carried her around?
Oh, sure. She was one looker.
No, her legs, I mean. Did you notice how muscular they were?
Yeah.
You know, dancers use ribbons to tie back their hair. Maybe this will give us a lead on who she is.
Isn't there anything in her bag?
That's the whole point. Nothing. No letters, papers, no credit cards, Social Security, nothing. Tell you what, you go call Chorus Equity. That's the dancers' union. See if they got a Ruth Sniffen. I'll take this hotel clerk and see what he knows. What's his name again?
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Cabot Lodge.
What?
How's that grab you?
I wasn't ready for that.
Lay odds you won't be ready for him either.
I knew I should never have registered her. I told Mama that this morning, first thing at breakfast.
Why, Mr. Lodge? And is Lodge your real name?
Well, of course.
Cabot Lodge?
Well, not really Cabot. No, Albert, actually. Mm. But in my profession, you know, names are so important.
Hotel clerk?
No, in charge of the desk. I work the middle shift because Mama's more or less invalid and needs care.
I see.
Yeah, of course, I had it legally changed, years ago.
Now, why was it you told Mama, your old lady, that you should never have registered her?
The Admiral Hotel has a reputation second to none. And nothing like this, but nothing has ever happened here.
Mm. All right, let's make this simple and quick. I saw the girl. She looked like a nice, clean kid to me. Why wouldn't you check her in?
Well, look, I don't want to go into all the problems of running a hotel, but mainly because she had no baggage.
She pay in advance?
Well, yes.
You asked for it because she had no luggage?
No, actually, I see. If I could reconstruct the scene, Inspector,
I'd... Detective.
Detective. You see, it was a little after 3. Now, I had taken over early. You see, I had just put my yogurt and my macrobiotic dinner, I'm dieting again at the moment, away in the fridge and taken over the desk. Oh, the day man is so messy. And I was just, you know, tidying up things when this girl came in. Yes, ma'am. May I be of assistance?
Could I have a single room, please?
Do you have a reservation?
No.
Oh. And just how long would you desire the accommodation?
Just for one night.
Let's see. Oh, yes, we have a very nice room. 14B.
How much is it?
That would be $28, plus tax, of course.
Nothing cheap, less expensive?
I'm afraid not.
All right, that will be fine.
Oh, splendid. The Hotel Admiral is delighted to welcome you as a guest.
What was that for?
To get a boy for your luggage.
Oh, I don't need him. I haven't any bags. I just need a place to rest for a while and make some phone calls.
No baggage?
I'll pay in advance. May I register now?
Why, of course. And in no sense did I mean to suggest that you...
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Large, I see from the desk plate.
Yes, that's correct. Now, here's the registration, and I hope we can make you comfortable for your short stay.
I'm sure you can. I expect to be comfortable for some time to come.
What do you mean by that crack?
Well, I haven't the faintest.
So she registered, and when you came to work today, she hadn't just spent a couple of hours, she was still here.
Yes, and over her checkout time.
When a maid couldn't get into a room?
Oh, the maid could have entered immediately with her passkey, except... For the protection of our guests, we have instituted an extra lock of the fall kind.
You mean as well as the regular latch lock that closes automatically?
Mm-hmm.
There's another lock that you turn the knob to close from the inside.
That's right. And it can only be opened or closed from the outside by key.
So the maid reported both locks shut and called you because the room was supposed to be vacated. That right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then what did you do?
Well, I phoned the room. There was no answer, so then I became a little worried. I went up myself and used my key for the protection lock, and we went in and found her.
Dead?
Yes, poor little thing.
Mm-hmm. On the floor. And the bed had been slept in just as we saw it?
I guess. Nothing was touched. Everything left as it was.
All right. Just one more question. You seem to be a very sensitive man, Mr. Lodge. Do you have any idea why this girl took that room?
Well, it could... It could have been an assignation. You know, even in the best-ordered hotel...
Even in the Admiral?
Well, I shudder to admit it.
Do you have any visitors?
No, not that the hotel knows of. But of course, it's impossible to check.
Did she make any outside calls?
Yes, I prepared a list for you. Here they are.
Good. How about incoming calls?
No, we have no record of those. Excuse me?
No, I'll take that. Detective Stein...
I gotta hand it to you. I got a make on our DOA.
Yeah, who?
Her real name is Ruth Sniffen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it seems like Cora's union here doesn't allow two dancers with the same name, right? So, there was this older dame named Ruth Sniffen at the same time our Ruth Sniffen joined
the... Tony, do me a favor. I've had enough small talk to last me to my grave. Just get to the point.
Yeah, okay. Our Ruth Sniffen is Candace Hart.
Candace?
Yeah, Candy Hart, dancer. She's now playing in What a World on Broadway. And I got an address for her, too. 1324 Christopher Street in the Village. And she has a roommate named Polly Pitcher. You want me to follow up? The Pitcher dame is home right now.
All right, get Polly Pitcher down to the morgue for an identification, then meet me at the station. Maybe we're starting to move at last. And don't let that pitcher spill till I'm there to sop it all up.
So far out, I don't dig it. I mean, Candy was making it all the way.
All the way?
Well, Nell Guinness just left the show to have her baby, and Candy got up to do her solo. She was sitting on top of the world.
Does she have any boyfriends?
Are you kidding? Oh, don't get me wrong. Candy was good, but she didn't get ahead strictly on her dancing.
That's kind of a nasty crack.
Oh, I was on my way out of the apartment. I just wish I'd left sooner.
Your way out?
Oh, that's right, Detective...
Tony Carbo.
Oh, Detective Carbo, what I meant to say is I was moving out because... Well, because Candy and me didn't cut it.
How come?
I don't know how much you know about dancers, Detective...
Stein.
But to be one, you gotta be a little crazy, right?
Right.
Right? How could you know?
I have a 17-year-old daughter who wants to be one. Is one. What's the difference? She's hooked.
Oh, honest? Oh, I'd like to meet her sometime.
I don't think you could talk her out of it.
Who wants to?
No, you said you're all nuts.
Sure. But who wants to live any other way if dancing is what you really want?
Go on, Miss Pitcher.
About what?
About why you were leaving, first of all.
Oh, well, just Candy and I didn't sort of hit it off like. She was, like by me, she was kind of a hard case.
Can you make that a little plainer?
Well, you know we were in a show together.
Yeah, yeah, what a world. Hey, I thought it was a knockout. And I remember you.
Tony.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You remember me, honest?
Tony, I'm talking to the witness, if she is one. Now, you said Candy Hart was a hard case. Why?
Oh, it's difficult to put into words. When the solo spot fell open, nobody questioned I'd get it. I was chorus leader. I'd go right in. Only I didn't. Because Candy shafted me.
Oh.
Well, I guess the producer had a kind of thing for her, you know. All I know is a special rehearsal was called Saturday night for today, Monday. And yesterday afternoon, Candy was planning a trip out of town.
And there's a connection?
The rehearsal was for Candy to go into the solo.
Yeah. And the trip out of town?
Make your own guess. The producer lives in Eastport, Connecticut, and that is where she was headed.
Mm. Well, it looks like she never got there. I wonder why.
Gee, I don't mean to knock her, and I'm really just totaled by what happened. Well, maybe I'm way out of line, but that's the way I had to figure it when she left here.
All right, let's go over it piece by piece and try to figure again. Something went wrong somewhere with whatever plans Candy Hart had. What, where, why, when, a million questions. Let's just start here with the beginnings. And see, can we find not what's right or wrong, but what went wrong.
The classic pattern of the result of that dreaded word, murder. Inexcusable. The taking of another's life, for whatever motive. I once asked you to be judge and jury. That doesn't apply in this case. Here, you are the detective. Make your own decision who is responsible for the death of Candy Hart. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Those your one fragrance collection, because you feel a little different every day.
Face it, guys. The same aftershave cologne every morning can get a little dull. Jovan has the answer. The Jovan Collection for Men. An exciting wardrobe of scents. Earthy Jovan Musk Oil. Manly Jovan Ginseng. Outdoorsy Grass Oil. Elegant, sensual Monsieur Jovan. And Jovan Sex Appeal Aftershave Cologne. The Jovan Collection for Men.
The Jovan.
Jovan Collection for Men is available at fine stores everywhere.
Did you know that there are just about 21 million Americans over 16 who can't read? Not even a want ad or a job application. And another generation right behind them. Kids in the inner cities, on reservations, and in Appalachia who may never learn to read. This is Michael Learned for RIF. Reading is fundamental. It's a national nonprofit program with more than 400 local projects all over the country that help kids help themselves to read by giving them the incentive and the books. RIF's goal in this bicentennial year is to get 25 million books into the hands of 5 million children, books they can choose for themselves and keep for their own. But to keep going and keep helping, RIF needs your help. Send a tax-deductible check or money order to RIF. It's tough to ask for money, and RIF knows it's tough to give it. But think how much tougher life would be if you couldn't read. Please, Send your donation to RIF, Box 23444, Washington, D.C., 20024.
Continue with the mystery of the death of Candy Hart. Who caused her death and why? Remember that you are a detective along with detectives Lou Stein, first grade, and Tony Carbo, third grade. Shall we make you detective second grade, since these reports come to you secondhand? And see if you can point the finger to the murderer as the case unfolds while Candy's roommate, Polly, is being questioned.
All right, Miss Pitcher. Incidentally, just for the record, is that an A.K.A.?
A what?
A.K.A. That's also known as, you know, an alias. He means, is it your real name?
Oh, yeah, sure. I really am Polly Pitcher. Well, Pauline, to be exact.
Mm-hmm. You said you figured your roommate Candy was off for a little weekend whirl with the producer of your show. Is that right?
I don't know, son. Oh, sometimes I'm kind of a big mouth. Maybe I should have clammed up.
Not with us, baby. That doesn't pay.
No, it's all right, Miss Pitcher. You just go right ahead and tell us again why you thought there was something going on there.
Well, the way I told you. I'm chorus leader. I've done the solo a couple of times when Nell Guinness was out, so nobody thought much about it. She sprained her ankle, I'd go right in. Only this time, a rehearsal was called, and the word was that Candy would be the one. Not that she wasn't good, but... Oh, gee, I hate this.
Miss Pitcher, let me say something. A girl is dead. This is a homicide. Somebody strangled Candy Hart deliberately, and she didn't die nice. So the nice things have to stop right here. We don't cut any corners anymore. Let's just get down to the nitty-gritty, which is not nice, but that's where we are. Now, I'll say some of it for you because it isn't fact, just like you say surmise, okay? This producer and Candy Hart were making it together. That was the talk, right?
That was the talk.
All right, what's his name?
Heywood Spence.
He lives in Eastport, Connecticut.
Right.
And you figured she was going to spend Sunday night with him. Why?
Well, Sunday morning when we got up, Candy asked...
Hey, Polly, you with it?
Oh, I'm awake, yes.
Oh, I have a mother of a headache.
There's some aspirin in the medicine chest.
That won't cure what ails me. We got any liquor?
Oh, some cooking sherry's all I have.
Oh, sure. The all-American health bug. What am I doing rooming with an AA?
Oh, thanks for the boost, but since I never had the habit, I never had to kick it.
When are you going to get with it, Polly? You're going to be an Elsie Dinsmore for the rest of your life.
Oh, knock it off. The needle has lost its charm. And who could use some more sleep? Anything else I can do for you?
Yeah. You got a bag I can pack some clothes and stuff in?
What's this? I thought I was the one moving out.
Oh, I'm not moving out. Just overnight. Nothing permanent like you.
Oh, look, I'm not in all that rush. I won't duck out on you till you have someone to take over for me.
Well, maybe it'd work better the other way, baby.
Huh?
How'd you like to take over the place and get yourself a roommate to share expenses?
Well, it's your apartment. I didn't think that would...
Everything's up for grabs at the moment, baby. I could be moving in with someone else. Can you spring me an overnight bag?
Oh, I haven't anything until tomorrow night. I lent it to Jeannie Shepherd for her bus tour. She's due back tomorrow night.
Oh, great.
But you have an overnight bag.
The zipper's stuck. Can't get it open. Boy, wouldn't you know.
What's the heavy date?
My future baby doll.
You mean our big man? The reason for the rehearsal tomorrow? You going into the solo?
No hard feelings, Polly. That's only for openers. Spence and me have something going beyond that.
Oh, boy, you're playing with fire.
You mean Isabel and her fangs?
The guy is married. You're buying a lot of trouble.
Don't you worry. Isabel's out of town, and what anybody doesn't know won't hurt him. We got any shopping bags kicking around?
The best I can do is a plain old supermarket job.
Solid. And after tonight, maybe you won't have to worry about making any moves.
Look, I don't want to get out of line, Candy, but what do you mean?
Lots of things are going to be settled by tomorrow morning. I got one thing going for me, And if Spence doesn't come through as advertised, he's in real trouble.
You make it sound like blackmail.
All in the point of view. The way I look at it, I'm just trying to make it easy all around. Guys do marry more than once.
What about Bill Pastor?
Bill? Oh, he never meant that much to me. Come on, let's dig up that shopping bag. I may be traveling third class this last time around. But you'd better believe it, baby. From then on, it's first class all the way.
So as far as you know, when Miss Hart left here, she was headed for Eastport to meet Mr. Spence.
That seemed the idea.
And she took her, whatever she wanted to take with her in a shopping bag?
Yes.
And that's the last you saw of her?
Of course.
But you didn't know where exactly she was headed.
I thought up to Eastport. I mean, she called Central Terminal about trains.
Yeah, but obviously she didn't catch one. She didn't mention anything at all about a rendezvous here in New York at the Admiral Hotel?
Not to me.
You quite sure?
Sure. What do you mean?
Look, it's maybe a little early in the game. But you do know your rights, don't you, Miss Pitcher?
My rights?
Yeah, you don't have to answer anything without legal counsel, if you don't want to.
I don't understand. I have nothing to hide.
Nobody said you did. What's got you back up, Tony?
Nothing. I just wanted her to know where she stood.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's up to you, miss. Your roommate, Candy Hart, left here with some overnight stuff in a shopping bag.
Hey, Lou, she never said she knew what was in the bag.
It's all right, Detective. I did. When I brought her the bag, she had the stuff all laid out to go into it. Nightclothes, hair curlers, the works.
May I complete my question now, Detective Carbo?
Yeah, sure, Lou, sure.
Miss Hart left here with clothes and effects for overnight in this shopping bag. Now, you thought she was headed for Eastport and a date with Mr. Spence?
I did.
Now, you had no way of knowing that she might be meeting him here at the Admiral Hotel instead.
I've answered that already. No.
But she did leave here with the shopping bag.
Yes, the one I described.
Okay, Miss Pitcher. Okay, I guess that's all for now. You wouldn't be planning to leave town suddenly, would you?
Of course not. I'm under contract.
Lou,
tonight,
are you kidding? Polly, I mean, Miss Pitcher will be doing the solo from now on. I guess we always know where to find you every night in the week. Except Sundays.
I guess you do.
Yeah. And anyway, we got your address. We got your phone number.
It's a free world. How can a girl ask for secrets anymore?
By me. Outside of my work, all she'd have to do is ask anytime she wanted to.
By me. Anytime I want to, I'll ask. So long, fellows. Be seeing you.
You might at that.
I'll take the word for the deed. Just in case. You mind if I call sometime, like, outside business hours?
Why not? Could be something new in a girl's life.
She kind of got to you, huh, Tony? My little pitcher dame?
Okay, Lou. I put in my 8 to 4, 4 to 12, whatever tour I'm on, but off duty, my life is my own.
Don't get uptight on me. I'm not sticking my nose in what you do off hours. But I do have to tell you to watch it. I could have fallen for that little dame a few years ago myself. That still doesn't mean she's leveling with us all the way.
What are you talking about?
Tony, the more time I spend on homicide, the less I pretend to understand. I've seen guys knocked off in an argument over a hockey game. Dames who stuck a knife in their own husband because they forgot to bring home the margarine. Candy Hart was doing Polly Pitcher out of a chance in the spotlight. Envy is as good a motive for murder as the next one.
Lou, you don't seriously think
she... I'll tell you what I seriously think. You better stop thinking about her as anything but a suspect. And we better get moving to clean this thing up. Now, we're splitting from here on in. You can have this Bill Pastor, the boyfriend that was mentioned. I'll take the Spence guy, who looks like he might just be the whole crate of apples. So let's get on the ball.
Yes, Detective, whatever the name was,
Stein.
Oh, yes, that's right, Stein. I'm quite aware that Candy, Miss Hart, is dead. You know, I had to appear in front of the entire cast of the musical at rehearsal, break the news.
Yeah, I know. That why you came to town, Mr. Spence?
I beg your pardon?
Make the announcement, I mean?
Sir, I am in town every weekday. I run an office here. Just because I have one hit doesn't mean I haven't other projects in work.
Sure. Now, let's see. Rehearsal was called for 4, is that right?
That is correct.
And we didn't know who the homicide was till around 3:30.
I can check with my secretary, but it was shortly after that time that the appalling news was transmitted to my office.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it wasn't until I got to the theater for rehearsal that I was told the news.
Yeah. What time did you get in this morning, Mrs. Spence?
I beg pardon?
What train did you take in from Eastport this morning?
I drove.
Oh. But you car in a garage?
Yes.
Good. When a ticket will show what time you pulled in.
That is correct. As a matter of fact, I came in yesterday from the country.
Oh. Matter of fact. When was that?
Well, sir, it so happens that my wife and children are visiting her parents this weekend. I found myself at loose ends, decided to come into the city.
Uh-huh. And what time would that have been?
In the middle evening, after dinner, say 8 or 9-ish. My garage will know what time I left the car.
Yeah, they do. 8:47. Then where did you go?
Not that it's any of your business, but to my apartment, where I worked until after midnight, went to sleep, came down to my office at the usual time, around 10 a.m.
Got a doorman at your apartment?
No, actually, I own a brownstone. I have the bottom floors, rent out the top.
And you say you were alone?
I was.
Did you make any phone calls? Did you see anybody during the evening?
I made several phone calls, but got no answer. No, I didn't see anyone.
So you were all alone from, say, 9 p.m. until at least somewhere after 8 the following morning?
Unfortunately, yes.
Sure, sure. I mean, you're an intelligent man, Mr. Spence. I mean, you can see where all this is headed, right?
Naturally.
Now, Candy Hart, why was she suddenly packing a bag to come and see you in Eastport while your wife and family were away?
What?
Was it because she was getting that solo spot instead of the regular girl who filled in?
Has Polly been giving you some kind of a story about me and Miss Hart?
I've done a little checking around. I had to warn you, there was a lot of talk about
Doesn't
you.
Mean a thing. A theater company was just a gossips like a family. It was a small village, sir. Candace Hart was an employee, a talented one, but nothing more.
That why you invited her up for the weekend or for Sunday night?
Who said I did that?
As a taxi service meets all the New York trains, they got an office that side of the track. My information is you drove in with your white caddy, license number UV557, in time to meet the 1205 from New York. Now, you seemed annoyed there was no one on it. You went over to Mario's place for a couple of snorts till the next train. When no one was on that for you, you drove off and went, where?
You seem to be doing all the telling. Why don't you finish?
That's all I got. The rest you told me. You came to New York. I'll give you a bracket. 12 to 4 a.m. Were you at the Admiral Hotel during those hours?
I was not, sir, nor to the best of my belief, except to have a drink in the bar waiting for a train. Have I ever been anywhere in the Admiral Hotel?
All right, so much for who at the moment. It wasn't you. Now, another big question you might be able to answer.
Yes.
Why? Why would anyone want to murder her, and why did she take a room in the hotel? Think it over, Mr. Spence. And remember, like I said in the beginning, you don't have to answer anything without a lawyer's advice.
Where there is murder, there is most always motive. Not the casual hit and run of the mugger, the accident of panic, the mindless menace of a gun maliciously discharged into a crowd. Candy Hart's murder was motivated by what? Jealousy? Fear of blackmail and a broken family life? Those are all we know so far. Either would be enough, but there are others still to consider when I return shortly with Act 3.
Budweiser presents Beer Talk. Let's say after your next picnic, some of that leftover beer warms up. Now then, is it okay to chill it again? The answer is yes. If the beer doesn't get too hot, heat can spoil the taste of any good beer. And if that beer is Beechwood-aged Budweiser, that's something to really get frosted about. So make sure you play it cool with any leftover Bud. In fact, why not make sure there's none left over? Anheuser-Busch, headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
You know, I just thought of something.
Yeah? What's that?
Well, over 400,000 people have already bought 1976 Buicks.
Yeah?
That's a lot of people.
Yeah?
Well, if you got all those people together, they probably disagree on nearly everything. Religion, politics, sports. I mean, people disagree on all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet all those people, over 400,000 of them, agree on Buicks. I think that's really socially significant, don't you?
No.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Hi, this is Andre Fisher with Rufus. Today, many high school graduates who want to go to college find they can't meet the high cost of higher education. If college money is a problem for you, then I'd like to talk to you for a moment about a plan that will not only pay your tuition, but also pay you a monthly allowance while you're in school. What's the plan? It's the Naval Reserve Officers Training Corps program. If you can qualify, NROTC will pay the cost of your college tuition plus $100 monthly cash allowance. And when you graduate, you'll join the finest of America's land, sea, and air team as a Navy ensign or a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps. It's never too early to plan for a future with an exciting career. And you can start today by talking to your high school counselor or local Navy recruiter about NROTC. Call the Navy toll-free 800-841-8000.
Detective Lewis Stein was questioning Haywood Spence. Detective Tony Carbo was questioning a man whose name had arisen only obliquely so far in the investigation, but a man whose testimony would prove to be surprisingly illuminating, since it introduced a whole new element into the case. An enigmatic young man named Bill Pastor.
I'm Detective Tony Carbo, Mr. Pastor. Come in. I'm sorry to drag you down to the precinct house. I couldn't locate you.
Hey, well, I was hauling a load. I just got in. Dispatcher gave me the message. What's the rap?
Well, there's no rap. Just a couple of questions about a girl named Candy Hart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You knew her?
Yes. Yeah, I knew her.
You know what's happened to her?
I can read, can I? It's in the afternoon paper by now.
Yeah. Sorry you had to hear about it that way. I gathered from Miss Pitcher you had, had a sort of thing for Candy Hart.
Oh, well, let's get that straight. I wanted to marry her. Don't try to dirty it up.
Now, ease off, man. Nobody's trying to dirty it up. I'm only doing a job.
Yeah.
You want it the hard way? Okay. Where were you between 12 midnight last night and, say, 4 o'clock this morning?
Zonked out.
You want to make that clearer?
I was sleeping. I had to haul freight out of here from Boston. 6 o'clock this morning, I just deadheaded back.
Okay.
Can check it out if you want.
I already have. Not that it matters. When was the last time you were in touch with Candy Hart?
I saw her a few days ago. She gave me my walking papers.
Mm-hmm. How come?
What's the difference anyway? Who fights City Hall? I wasn't good enough for her. Except when she needed me.
You want to clear that up?
Yeah. She called me last night.
What time?
Around 6.
From where?
I don't know. First off, I thought it was from out of town, from that Spencer's place.
Yeah, what did you think of second off?
Nothing, because I got the kiss off. You want it all flat foot? You can have it, with my compliments. I still can't figure it. Yeah?
Bill, it's Candy.
Hey, how are you, baby? Where are you? Where?
Never mind that for the moment. I need help.
Well, what am I here for? You got it.
It's pretty crazy, Bill. I just didn't know who else to turn to.
I like that.
You wouldn't. I mean, whatever I say goes no further.
You just have to ask.
I'm asking.
So, you can bet it. Not on your life.
Okay. Now, here's what I need to know. If a person, I mean, if someone has a sack full of dough in, like, small bills, kind of worn, could they be traced?
No. Wait a minute, kid. What are you mixed up in?
Bill, don't ask questions. Just give me answers.
Well, how would I know?
You know why? Oh, I know it's not like that with you anymore, but you do have, like, connections.
Listen, where are you? Let me come up and talk to you.
No, first answer me.
Okay, the answer is, I don't know. I don't know where they came from. Do you?
No, but I can guess, and they're... Well, they're not legal.
Counterfeit?
No.
Lifted? Stolen?
Not exactly.
How small denominations?
Fives, tens, twenties, a few hundreds. Not new.
What do you want me to say, Candy? And I've been up the river. I don't want to buy it again. It could be okay, but if it was me, I wouldn't try to pass it.
What would you do with it?
Broker it, fence it. Those boys know how to spread it.
What would that cost me?
How much you got?
Never mind that right now. Let's say it was $100,000.
Well, with no connections, you'd be lucky to keep maybe 25%.
And if I had connections like you?
Candy, even if I had it, I wouldn't touch it. Now, you listen to me. Whatever you got to stake, forget it. If it's the wrong side of the law, it is worth nothing. Turn it in. Now, look, you want me to help? Tell me where you are, and I'll come up and we'll work it out.
Forget it, Bill. I never had money like this in my life, and I'm hanging on to it come hell or high water.
Candy, honey, believe me, you're making a mistake. Candy! Oh, how can you be so crazy and stubborn?
And that's all?
She hung up on me.
And you've got no idea where she was calling from?
No, I tried to trace her through that roommate of hers, but she never gave me the time of day anyways, you know.
I wouldn't press your luck, loser. You keep your mouth off Miss Pitcher.
Like that, huh?
You better make that clear.
Nah, what's the use? You name me loser, it's my middle initial. I wish you better luck. Polly's a nice kid. She's just out of my class.
Mm-hmm. But Candy wasn't.
She let me know it often enough. We might have made it if I could have got it down to earth. You know, sometimes I wanted to drag her there with my bare hands and knock some sense into her.
Tony, I've been looking for you. What are you doing in here?
I'm looking through this morning's printouts from the teletype. Lou, read this.
Franz the scribe Gottschalk. Convicted counterfeiter and forger of oil paintings, booked today as the perpetrator of the recent theft of the famous Whistler from the Flaxenheim Museum.
Yeah, he was picked up while trying to extort extra ransom money for the Whistler canvas after Rudolf Schneer, the curator of the museum, had already paid the first demand for $100,000.
Well, I still don't see...
Hold it. Listen. Gottschalk claims he never received the first $100,000. That the shopping bag supposed to contain the money had been switched for one resembling it, containing articles of women's clothing, a hair curling machine, and a tape recorder.
That's where Candy got the dough she was talking about to her boyfriend.
And why she ducked her appointment with Spence and holed up in the hotel.
But how?
Well, she can't tell us.
All right, that leaves Gottschalk. Where they got him? We're going to have a few words with that shakedown artist.
Supposing we just go over it again, Franz, and this time let's do a little singing.
But I've told you it's the truth.
I want to know how that girl got the money. Franz, Gottschalk, whatever your name is.
I like better just Frank. I'm an American citizen.
Yeah, you were while you stayed out of the clink.
I still am, even if I cannot vote.
Frank... If you don't come clean with me, there are a lot of things you're not going to be able to do for a long, long time. This isn't just an extortion rap anymore. It's maybe the big M.
I have nothing to do with murder.
Okay, convince me. Play fair with me. I'll give you all the breaks I can.
All right. I stole the Whistler. I cut it out of the frame. It was such a pity to deface a masterpiece, but it was only a little. So I arranged my ransom terms. It's simple to get the picture back. On a word from me, the curator is to take $100,000 in small bills contained in an ordinary shopping bag to Central Terminal. He is to go to the waiting room, locker 463, which he will find open and put inside the bag. Then I know he does not spy on me. He must sit with his back to the lockers for 2 hours, not to move, not to speak to anyone, not even to look around. Because he is warned he will be watched every moment.
Mm-hmm. You had accomplices?
No. I work alone. But how is he to know that? So I wait at the station. I see him come in. He's a small man, not so steady on his feet, you know. All of a sudden, from another direction, comes this girl running and bumps into him. Well, my heart is in my mouth. Both of them stumble and force the shopping bag with them.
Ooh, wow. Now, the money fell out.
No. Gott sei Dank. I see them get to their feet. They are talking, but I cannot hear anything except all of a sudden the girl cries out, "Get out of here before I call the police."
Oh, I bet that gave you the heaves.
Well, my heart stopped, but he calmed her down somehow, handed her her bag, and brought the shopping bag to the box, put it in, and then he went and sat. I moved to get the bag, made one look to check the contents.
Now, wait a minute. I'm ahead of you. She had a bag, you said. She had a bag. You mean a shopping bag?
That is right.
And when they knocked each other over, somehow the bags got switched, right?
Right. The bag in the box had only some ladies' undergarments in it.
That must have given you a real jolt.
Believe me. But I was not letting her get away with the money so easy. I locked the box. I turned to look for her.
And you followed her to the hotel where she checked in, bided your time, then went up to her room, got in by some gig or other, took your money, stopping only long enough to strangle her so she couldn't
bear
witness against
you. No, I did not.
Return to the locker where the police picked you up.
I had lost her. I rushed around. I couldn't find her. I thought perhaps in the other bag, in her bag, I could find an address, some name, to know who she was. Please, you must believe me. I am not a murderer. I did not kill her. Please give me a chance.
The odds are better than you deserve. There are three others who had just as good motives as you. Now, all I've got to do is figure out which one of you four it was. Now, if... Hey, wait a minute. My odds are wrong. Now, you know something, Frank? There's only one person who could have murdered Candy Hart.
Just as a matter of interest, and for the fun of it, are you, as the audience so often is, way ahead of our detectives and our story? Could you name the murderer and his or her motive now? Have you perhaps even known from the beginning? Or would you like now, before we complete our story, to pick your own candidates? Now, for those of you who feel you know or have guessed, here is the solution.
I don't know what possessed me to do it, except that... Well, I can't expect you to understand. But my vacation was coming up next Monday, and as usual, I just had no money. Would have been able to travel, to see the world, instead of being chained all day, listening to Mama's whimperings and complainings. And then suddenly this blessed chance... No, I should say this terrible temptation.
When the girl came in with the bag full of money.
Yes. She was dusty as if she had fallen and all disheveled, and she was just definitely not a candidate for the Admiral Hotel. Well, I was thinking of telling her that we were all filled up when she put down her bag to register and... Oh, Lord, help me, it tipped over and the newspaper covering it at the top slipped aside and... I saw it was full of money.
So you let her in?
Yes.
And later that night, you went up and used your pass key to get into her room.
She woke up and recognized me, then turned on the light. I offered to share, but she was impossible. She said she would scream her head off if I didn't get out. For the first time in my life, perhaps, I lost my head. I snatched at anything to gag her, and somehow it was around her throat. And then before I knew it, I... She was dead. Well, I had nothing to lose. I took the money. I thought I could get away with it. I knew that money was stolen, but somehow, I don't understand. Somehow, you guessed. And the worst thing of all, I just don't know how we're going to break the news to Mama.
I'm not sure I understand all the way myself, Tony. How did you pick it?
Well, first off, I couldn't see our desk clerk Lodge ever letting anyone into the hotel without baggage, a woman especially. And second, once we knew the money was involved, I figured that let Spence and Pastor out of the picture.
And little Polly, you never figured, was in it at all.
You said it. Now, as for Gottschalk, if he killed Candy and took the money, why try a second holdup? But most of all, it's my,
Total recall.
Like how?
You notice those special protection locks at the hotel?
Mm-hmm. The regular fall type.
Right. Protection for the guests from the inside. But the only way to close that special lock from the outside was to have a key. And the only person who had that key was the hotel clerk. Elementary, my dear Detective Stein.
Now, what am I supposed to say? Amazing? You didn't think I didn't twig that right from the beginning? It's just that I couldn't figure that mama's boy having any reason for... Well, I guess we're never too old to learn, huh?
So there it is. All wrapped up, finished, ended. As you guessed it? If you did, well and good. And if you didn't, there's always the enjoyment of a puzzle slowly unraveling, a mystery becoming clear. I hope you enjoyed it as a change of pace and as a reminder that the order of natural events is frequently just as chilling as the supernatural. I'll be back shortly.
Pick up a pickup. Pick it up and take it home.
Pickups, a rotary-powered air conditioner from Fetters. Just as powerful as ordinary units, but lighter and smaller. So you can take it home and
put it in the window, close the sash and plug it in. Move it to the bedroom, take it on vacation. One little pickup, one little pickup. One little Fetters may be all you need.
Pick up a pickup at your Fetters dealer today.
When you just finished painting the barn and your dad said you did such a good job, you ought to paint the house, then it's time for country time.
It's time for country time. It's time for country time. The lemonade tastes a good old-fashioned country time.
It's time for new Country Time lemonade flavored drink mix. Anytime you worked up an old-fashioned thirst for the taste of old-fashioned lemonade, new Country Time from General Foods in the yellow and brown can.
And now Coffee Rich, the frozen non-dairy creamer, presents Coffee Klatsch.
Tonight we hear Harry and Edith, Richfield City's controversial couple, in deep conversation.
Harry?
Huh?
Harry?
What do you want, Edith?
Harry, your mother's coming.
Right, right.
Well, what color pitcher do you want me to serve the coffee, Richie?
I don't know anything about pitchers. I mean, just pour it from the carton. It'll be fine.
Mommy!
Harry, my baby!
Mommy, my mommy!
Take my coat and get me a cup of coffee.
Oh, sure. Here, Mom.
Mmm. I see you've taught the little lady a little something about good taste.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This coffee's creamy and delicious. Edith must be trying to impress me by using Coffee Rich.
Hi, Mother. You noticed the coffee, Rich. It's really convenient. You just keep it in the refrigerator.
Edith. You made two good choices in your life. You married my Harry, and now you're serving Coffee Rich. Why don't you quit while you're ahead?
And so we shall. Take it from Harry's mommy and try delicious Coffee Rich yourself. Coffee Rich, in your grocer's frozen food case.
Just to pick up a few loose ends, the extortion money was, of course, returned. And while Mrs. Lodge temporarily went into incredible shock, she eventually, in spite of her infirmities, imagined or otherwise, lived out her years quite happily. Her son received a life sentence, but in a strange way made his own adjustment to imprisonment, which he finds has many things in common with the hotel business. And Detective Tony Carbo is married to guess who? Our cast included Russell Horton, Rosemary Rice, Mandel Kramer, Josephine Premise, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI, the weather outlook. Decreasing showers tonight and tomorrow with periods of partial clearing. Partly sunny on Thursday, slowly warming with highs mid-60s tomorrow, near 70 on Thursday. Lows in the low 50s. And currently in downtown Seattle, it's 57 degrees.
You can hear the difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. Helicopters and boats are the only available means of transportation in much of Houston as torrential rains have flooded the Texas city. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. In the middle of all that high water, Judd McElvain.
More than 7 inches of rain in only a few hours have left major flooding throughout the city of Houston. The Texas Medical Center is surrounded by water. Access to the hospitals in the center is restricted to helicopters and boats. Methodist Hospital was without electricity for all purposes for about 3 hours. Auxiliary power units were flooded out by overflowing bayous. Electricity was cut off to several sections of the city by lightning, and only supervisory personnel could work on the power poles because the Houston Lighting and Power Company is on strike. One child was reported drowned. Hundreds of residents are being evacuated from their homes by boat in the northeast section of the city. The flooding hit all sections of the city, and many commuters spent 5 to 6 hours trying to get home on crowded freeways. Fire and police units are still unable to answer many of their calls because of flooded streets. High waters kept Houston firefighters from reaching a burning trailer home. Judd McElvain for CBS News, Houston.
For the first time in the 11-year history of Houston's Astrodome, a baseball game was postponed because of weather, not because the field in the domed stadium was wet, but because the fans and the umpires couldn't get through the flooded streets to reach the Astrodome. The Black Hills of western South Dakota got a record 10 inches of rain. Floodwaters loosed a house-burying mudslide. Rescue workers struggled for more than 5 hours digging 3 children out of the muck. They were hospitalized and listed in serious condition. A fourth child died. CBS News continues following this message.
We're the fresh kinds from Wonder Bread. Give us a squeeze and feel the freshness for yourself. We're wrapped warm from the oven in Stay Fresh wrappers. You can feel it when you squeeze us on a shelf.
Yes, sir, because I'm a fresh guy from Wonder Bread.
Hey, what about me?
In my Stay Fresh wrapper, I'm a star.
What a lot of crust. Every loaf of Wonder's wrapped warm from the oven.
We're the fresh guys from Wonder Bread.
Fresh Wonder Bread, buns and rolls too.
Hi, world. Denny Bracken here with Waldo, the wine taster. More affectionately known as Mike Roy. Hello,
Waldo. That's a pretty heavy clue to what's happening tomorrow on the cooking thing over the CBS radio network.
Well, might as well tell us a little more, whet the appetite, so to speak.
Well, cooking with wine is an old, old tradition. Some of those old ideas are still around. So we'll tell you all how old it's becoming, and where there's new, and where food and wine are all concerned.
Oh, let's stop talking and open a bottle. What do you say?
I'm with you.
Come join us, friends, tomorrow here on the CBS Radio Net.
The Senate Judiciary Committee, by a razor-thin 8-7 vote, Tuesday approved legislation to break up the nation's 18 largest petroleum companies. The measure, if enacted, would confine each company to narrower areas of operation. Senator John Tower, the Texas Republican, is one lawmaker opposed to the bill.
It's going to produce no more energy at a higher cost. And it's a matter, I think, of just punishing the major oil companies who, after all, along with the independents, have provided this country for so many years with an adequate supply, indeed sometimes a surfeit, of inexpensive energy.
Jimmy Carter supporters, who generally have controlled the shaping of the Democratic Party's 1976 platform, lost one Tuesday. The platform committee approved a plank calling for a general pardon for persons in legal and financial trouble because of opposition to the Vietnam War. Carter's forces, who have called repeatedly for a moderate platform that will not give the Republican Party any so-called red flags to campaign against, won most of the other key votes. Included in the planks approved were ones for a method of financing a national health insurance program, a federal takeover of local welfare costs, and a minimum income plan for the poor. The UN Security Council Tuesday night extended the life of the peacekeeping force on Cyprus, voting just 15 minutes before the scheduled 12:01 a.m. expiration of the force's mandate. The council voted 13-0 to extend that mandate for 6 months. Now this.
Work on your car later.
Oh, Mom.
This headache, it's awful.
Here, honey, take something strong. Adult Strength Anacin.
Aren't they all for adults?
Yes, but while ordinary aspirin, buffered aspirin, and Anacin start with the same amount of pain reliever, Anacin adds 23% more. Then Anacin adds an extra ingredient not found in the others.
Headache gone, Mom?
Mm-hmm, and fast. And Anacin didn't upset my stomach.
Adult Strength Anacin. Use only as directed.
What can cause hemorrhoids?
Strenuous activity, pregnancy, constipation, change in diet.
Oh, well, are pain and itching symptoms?
Sometimes. If you suffer occasional pain and itching of hemorrhoidal tissues, use Preparation H to relieve discomfort for hours in many cases. And Preparation H actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation.
You know, I'll try it.
Use only as directed. Preparation H comes in ointment or suppositories, relieves pain and itch, helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues.
The Food and Drug Administration has proposed mandatory controls for ultrasonic therapy equipment to prevent adverse effects that can include radiation burns, swelling, and nerve damage. An FDA spokesman says the agency is moving for the mandatory controls because manufacturers have not lived up to voluntary standards. The FDA says some 50,000 ultrasonic units are located in hospitals, nursing homes, and doctors' offices across the country. The proposed controls would not affect equipment already in use. Manufacturers would have a year in which to bring their equipment into compliance. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, KIXI, 6 minutes past 11.
I'm Ben Franklin, and once again I quote from the wisdom of Poor Richard's Almanac on cowards. We commonly think of courage as an all-pervading virtue, but I believe better a cringing coward than a cold corpse. Some have been thought brave who were afraid to run away. Many would be cowards if they had the courage. Courage is the knowledge of the cowardice of the enemy. But fear to do ill, and you need fear nothing else. And now some wisdom from a modern source.
At the insurance store, you get service second to none. In many cases, your problem can be handled right on the phone. In all cases, it'll be handled fairly, because we represent only companies that work that way, like Continental Insurance. For your nearest insurance store, just see an agent listed under the Continental Insurance Soldier in the Yellow Pages.
From KIXI, it's bright and beautiful music, 24 hours a day.